Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us.
This evening I'm joined by Dr. Kate McIsaac from Florida in the United States. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Could you tell us when you first heard about LDN?
I believe it was around 2006. I'd say roughly that would be the time when I first started using it. And frankly, I can't say specifically where I read about it, but it was some type of a research that I was doing for another reason and came across the topic of LDN. And I had, of course, associated with the usual on-label use for naltrexone, which made me a little bit, you know, reluctant to research LDN more. But once I started doing it, it sounded very interesting and made a lot of sense biochemically. So that's when I started to use it in my patients.
Mm-hmm. What conditions have you treated so far?
Well, I started back at that time with probably the more familiar applications, which is for fibromyalgia and chronic pain conditions, as well as migraine and insomnia. So those were the things that I started out with. And it was, of course, and probably is a common experience with most prescribers, is that for fibromyalgia, what we're calling fibromyalgia, uniformly, I got a very great response for reduction in pain and increase quality of sleep in those patients. And I'm sure I probably had not a huge population, but probably, 70 or 80 patients who were responders during maybe 2006 up until 2010, roughly that time frame. And I really didn't know the broader applications. I think it was, I tended to associate it with pain or some type of instability with sleep. In more recent years, I've started to use it on anyone who had autoimmune conditions, just even simple things like Hashimoto's thyroiditis, knowing that some of those patients could have other autoimmune impact on other organ systems other than the thyroid. So, I have a small population of patients with chronic neurologic disorders. I have like probably 10 or 12 MS patients, four ALS patients, and two with PLS, the progressive lateral sclerosis, who are on LDN now. And all of them, haven't had complete resolution as you, Linda, but have certainly had a greatly improved quality of life with, certain coordination improvement and articulation improvement, swallowing improvement. All of those probably, if I had to draw a line through it, say that maybe about a 60% improvement in the quality of life. So it's very impressive. I don't have a large pediatric population, but I do have one child just recently that I started on LDN for, who's on the autism spectrum. So I'm really interested to see how she does, especially after you've been telling me about this recent conference with a physician who has a lot of kids on LDN.
So for all the patients that you've prescribed LDN for, have any reported adverse side effects?
I would say I have had less than 10 who decided to stop using LDN, either because they didn't notice any improvement or because they did not like some type of a side effect, which would be along the lines of the intolerable vivid dreams that they deemed intolerable and didn't want to stick with it, a feeling of nausea, some type of a GI type of side effect that they also didn't want to continue. But those were people who really had mild cases of whatever the condition was. They really were not as motivated probably as other people who have more debilitating conditions and would be willing to, adapt or take the time to adapt. And what I have learned too in more recent years is to drop it really low when you're starting, to dose somebody and really go slowly as you're progressing up in the dose, rather than the original method that I had was using was starting like at 1.5 milligrams and working up to as much as 4.5. So, you know, I've actually had my compounding pharmacy made it into a suspension so that a drop, for instance, would be like 0.5 milligram so that the patients could start really low and titrate up as tolerated over a longer period of time. And that works much better because some just stay on doses less than a milligram, which is interesting. That small amount would be adequate.
Definitely, because over the years I've found that starting low and working up, how you suggest, the dropout rate has reduced rapidly because people are not getting the side effects that are putting them off. There are doctors that will say if people have trouble sleeping that they can take it in the morning and they find that works just as well. And if they have GI problems, there is sublingual drops which are absorbed bypassing the stomach. So there are different things we're learning over the years to tweak it to combat those said side effects. But it's good that nobody has reported to you anything that is out of the norm, should we say.
And actually, I have recently started. There are three people I'm using daytime dosing with LDN for, trying to help with, you know, dependency type of issues with, you know, smoking and alcohol. So it was actually, and I don't know if that's been a common use or not, but it just seemed to make sense if someone was not as, if they're having a craving for something, if the brain is, you know, doctored up a bit, so to speak, then that there would be less of a craving for nicotine or alcohol. So, you know, that's just a virgin tour for me right now. And perhaps you have people using it in that capacity that you know of?
Yes, we have. And OCD as well, another mm-hmm. one. And as I was saying to you before we started, Dr. Phil Boyle, his presentation is very interesting where he talks about infertility. And it was funny, I was talking to Dr. Phil Boyle after one of the conferences, and I was saying that as I was getting older, my body was changing because I used to have endometriosis. And it was mm-hmm. awful. I mean, I had problems from the age of 11. By the time I reached my mid-20s, I'd had about 12 DNCs and fibroids and polyps and all sorts of things removed. And I said to him, it must be the age that I am, because all of the pain and the heavy bleeding and everything, it's all stopped, you know. And I was only getting like 3 days a month where I didn't have some form of really bad stomach cramps. So he said, so when did that actually stop? So I was saying, well, it stopped, and I told him roughly how many years before it stopped. And he said, so how long had you been on LDN?
There you go.
Yeah, only a few months, and that had cleared it up. But apparently he uses it for a lot of women's problems as well. And people have told me that, you know, PMS, it works really, really well for as well. So, mm-hmm. yeah,
I wonder about PCOS too, if that is something that's been documented. I haven't had a patient to try that on the polycystic ovarian syndrome, whether it be.
I think I've had one lady, I think, uh-huh. Who has found that to have helped.
You know, I don't consider my experiences to be something that's unique. And from what I gather, you know, reading just on regular online, so I think I just by discovering your website and everything, it just makes it much more. You know, in the past week, I've been probably giving it to everybody I've seen just for any reason, and so I think it's just from rather than me contributing too much to your site, I think you're going to be teaching me a lot, which is going to be great. So I appreciate that.
So if there are people out there from Florida who would like to have an appointment with you, how do they contact you?
Well, through my office telephone, or they can make appointments on our website too, online. So,
and would you like to say your web address?
Oh, sure. It's at Healing Alternatives, which is plural, HealingAlternativesInc.com is the website, and our phone number in the Orlando area is 407-682-7111.
Thank you very much for sharing your experience with us.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Today we're joined by Dr. Neysha Winters from Colorado in the US. Thank you for joining us, Neysha.
Thank you, Linda. Really happy to be here.
Now, could you tell us about yourself? That would be a good starting point.
Well, my name is Neysha Winters. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I'm also a licensed acupuncturist and have a diploma in oriental medicine. And I'm also a fellow of the American Board of Naturopathic Oncology. I did specialty continuing training in naturopathic and integrative oncology. And so I had run my own private practice for quite some time, and in 2014 sold my practice, stayed on board for a year in the transition, and as recently as 1 year ago, launched out to do consulting with doctors and clients around the world who really wanted to have more access to integrative approaches to oncology. I've been exclusively treating cancer patients since 2012, even had to close my practice for a while because it was so inundated, and just reopened it this year for consultations. I'm no longer doctoring or practicing per se, but I speak to a significant number of clients and doctors who want to have a deeper understanding of how best to support their bodies through a cancering process.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get involved with LDN?
I was working for a long period of time. I worked with a lot of autoimmunity and endocrinology issues in Durango. And being in a very small, tiny town on the Four Corners, our closest city 3.5 hours away, I was sort of the local endocrinologist, literally, for about a decade. And I had a lot of patients with a lot of autoimmune issues, which we often see in this part of the world. A lot of mercury plants, coal-burning plants and whatnot, a lot of mercury exposure, thyroid dysfunction, you name it. So a lot of endocrine and autoimmune conditions. And I had a client who came in who she herself had a pretty severe multiple sclerosis and came in asking me about the use of this. She'd found it herself, and I think this is around 2004. And I looked into it. It was quite compelling and was able to find a doctor that was willing. At that time, we didn't have any ability to prescribe or order this even. And I was able to find a doctor who was willing to prescribe it for her. And what I witnessed in her own condition, she'd been in a wheelchair at that time. She was back to full life functioning within a few months. And it was obviously life-changing for her, but also for me. And I started to explore it more and started to use it in all my patients with autoimmune issues, even endocrine issues, hormonal imbalances, chronic insomnia, anxiety patterns, and started just watching. You know, they kind of knew they were my guinea pig at the time because we didn't have a lot of information about it then. So clinically, I very much believe in empirical gathering of evidence. I started seeing quality of life and other conditions really change in folks. Started hearing little snippets about this probably in, 2008 or 9 about its use in cancer, but I was a little hesitant to use it in that arena until a few compelling talks I heard in 2010 and beyond that I started really using it in my oncology patients. And now I would say probably 80% of my oncology patients take this at some point in their treatment support.
And going back to when you were treating people with autoimmune conditions as well as cancer, when they first started, did any of them report to you any adverse effects?
Yes. If I had to guess, I've probably had 1,000 clients on this over the years. And out of that, I can count on less than two hands how many people had severe, like adverse effects enough to not be able to utilize this drug, or this, because it is, it's a drug. And that would be extreme muscle cramping in their legs, especially at night. And no matter how many adjunctive, supportive, mineral, you know, everything we did, hydration, magnesium, potassium, even IV drips, you name it, even cutting back on the dosage, it just was intolerable for them. I think that's a pretty minor, I mean, compared to side effects of other sort of off-label use medications I've seen, that's really not that many. I've had a few people, you know, who just couldn't tolerate it. Out of those 10, I think half of those just could not utilize this medicine. And that was across the board in patients with autoimmune and cancer. And in fact, I just had this experience with a woman with ovarian cancer who we tried every which way to utilize this for her. And it just simply was a no-go. It was so disruptive to her quality of life and her sleep. And the pain was intolerable. It was extreme. So once we pulled it out, within 2 nights, the symptoms were completely gone. We thought maybe it was a fluke, reintroduced it. Sure enough, there it was. She's by far had the most severe response of anyone I've seen, and she wanted it so badly because of the literature out there, but it's just simply not a match for her. Mm-hmm. Other folks have described, you know, some sleep disturbances initially, but we just back them down and take it a little bit slower as we titrate up. And those folks with the adverse effects are able to build up their reaction or response to it and have no issues whatsoever and can maintain it for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have 2 patients that needed to just stay at 3. Once they went up to 4.5 milligrams, they couldn't seem to tolerate that. But I've only had 2 or 3 that needed to stay at the lower dose. But for the most part, everyone handles the 4.5 milligram dosing beautifully.
Mm-hmm. And how long would you say it takes your patients to find that there's a benefit?
Great. So, well, I mean, first of all, I titrate pretty quickly because I'm staying in touch with my patients. Most of them go 1.5 milligrams for a week, then 3 milligrams for a week, then 4.5. I know a lot of doctors who go much slower than that, you know, take each of those levels at a month. So in my world, most of my patients within a week or two have significant changes in their overall sense of well-being. We can see changes on inflammatory markers on their labs within a month for sure. We see improvement once they tolerate the dose that they're on. Their sleep completely reboots and stabilizes. We can even see adrenal stress index and circadian rhythm salivary testing to see that it does in fact have an impact on the circadian rhythm, which is pretty exciting to me in the world of oncology. And I'm trying to think of other significant factors. I'll do some hormone testing, salivary urinary hormone testing as well, 3 to 6 months into the treatment for folks that had, say, estrogen dominant processes impacting their autoimmunity or their endocrine system or their oncology. And we see a big change even in the response of how their body is processing, storing, and breaking down hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So with your consultancy and all the knowledge that you have, what do you suggest for your patients as in diet and supplements, and what should they be looking for?
Excellent. Well, because now I focus almost exclusively on oncology, although as you and I chatted before the interview, a lot of those patients also have autoimmunity processes going on, whether they had it before their cancer diagnosis or, as is often the case after cancer treatment, they'll have it then, you know, so that process happens. But I am I'm a huge proponent of low glycemic. Most of my patients are, you know, because I see mostly stage 4 cancer patients, most of them are on a ketogenic type diet, low glycemic for sure, nutrient dense, organic. I'm very much a stickler for that because I'm also very interested in environmental medicine and the impacts of we are what we eat, but also what those animals eat. So if you're going to eat animal, you need to make sure it is clean, 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 or frankly avoid it. I'm a huge proponent of mitochondrial reboot, of the sort of popular approach that Dr. Terry Walls put out there of the 9 cups of vegetables a day. So my patients really push a very vegetable-rich foundation to their diet, second by quality fats with condiments of quality protein, and sugar is pretty much removed entirely from the diet, including extreme limitation of fruit. Because I follow labs, not just a dogma of a diet, once their labs improve, specifically in the realms of insulin growth factor, C-reactive protein, hsCRP for blood sugar, insulin levels, then we can start to increase their fruit intake again and their more starchy fruits and vegetables. I tend to, because I work with a lot of autoimmunity and leaky gut issues in the cancer population, I really keep them off grains. And so from the lectins and the inflammatory markers and the high starch and sugar content of those, they tend to be on grain and legume diets until their blood sugar stabilizes. Then we can reintroduce them, though I find that most of my patients do much better completely off the grains and extreme limitation or even avoidance of the legumes as well.
Hmm. That's very interesting. And yeah. Supplements.
Mm-hmm. I try and do as much as I can through diet and lifestyle modification. Diet is the absolute foundation to this, but mm-hmm. there are obviously a few key players, vitamin D being the biggie. Vitamin D is so huge in the world of oncology, autoimmunity, hormonal balance, blood sugar balance, inflammatory process. We have issues with epigenetics and how this makes our bodies respond to certain treatments. There's some theories out there that even vitamin D deficiency can be impacting our internal endocannabinoid system as well as our opiate system and how we respond. So why LDN is probably such a benefit as well as an immunomodulator. So that's a biggie. Oftentimes, depending on, I do SNP analysis in all my patients. So I look at single nucleotide polymorphisms, and I'll bring in magnesium a lot, which also synergizes nicely with the LDN, works on hormonal, the way our body processes hormones and stress hormone. I'll use supplements incredibly therapeutically depending on what the labs are saying. So an example, if they have high fibrinogen, and a lot of inflammation, I might use proteolytic enzymes or things like lumbrokinase to work on lowering that. If they have high ferritin, which is actually more common than not in a lot of these chronic conditions, just because you have low blood count does not mean that's an iron deficiency anemia, then I'll do therapeutic blood draws if their blood levels are stable and their marrow is good, and then bring on other therapies that can lower the ferritin, such as avoiding red meat and cast iron and things like that. Trying to think of other examples. Obviously, blood sugar is a key. Hormonal balance is a key. Angiogenesis. I do a lot of work with natural angiogenesis inhibitors such as alpha-lipoic acid. And so I do a ton of work with low-dose naltrexone and alpha-lipoic acid, both oral and IV alpha-lipoic acid, using kind of the Berkson protocol that many people are familiar with. Especially if there's aggressive cancer and especially if there's liver metastasis.
And the good news is that you will actually do telephone consults, Skype,
yeah,
and all the other media that's out there. How do people get hold of you?
Great. And again, you know, just to reiterate, I'm not diagnosing or treating. I'm helping you sort through all of your internal data and help you create a roadmap to get you into the exact most perfectly fitted treatment, practice, practitioner available to you wherever you are in the world. That's kind of my job now. But ultimately, you can reach me. Go on to www.optimalterrainconsulting.com. And you can, there's a ton of information about sources, resources, our book that's coming out the end of the year about a compendium on integrative oncology with a foundation in nutrition and diet, therapeutic diet. We actually do talk about low-dose naltrexone and other things in the book as well. So little plug for you guys. But that's one way. You can also directly email me at drnasha, drnasha at optimalterrainconsulting.com. And you can also go on Facebook, where I put a ton of articles and blogs and information that I'm constantly skimming through and putting up for your entertainment and educational, which is just looking under Facebook for Optimal Terrain Consulting. So lots of ways. We take advantage of all the social networks if we can.
Thank you very much for joining us and educating us on how to make ourselves healthy.
Thank you. Fantastic. Love what you've done. Your book is a hit among so many of my clients and colleagues.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.